Well, Mick, we're reflecting on a whitewash of a very different kind to that many would have expected at the start of the series. But where do England go from here? How do they pick up the pieces?
Well, I think it's, you know, they've got a reasonable run of not playing Test cricket now, if you like, for a few months. So I think there'll be some reviews and some discussions and some thoughts. I don't see massive amount of changes, really. I still think there's a core of players that they're going to rely on. But maybe one or two players have played their last Test match, and I think they need to have a good close look at those that are coming through. And this Lions tour that's going to Sri Lanka late January has taken on a greater importance than it might usually have done.
Is there a danger of an overreaction because the players being singled out as ones that perhaps should step aside are better at this stage than the ones that seem set to take those places?
Yeah, there's always a danger of an overreaction when it's Australia, but I think the manner of defeat was quite hard to take for a lot of people, and I can understand that. So I think that England have to expect criticism, as Andy Flower has said, and they're getting that. But the thing is, you have to make some calm and rational decisions rather than too quickly after the series ends. You know, who are the right players to take England forward? And look, you know, don't always think about the Ashes. You know, think about each tour as you go along. So Sri Lanka and India this year, they're still important that England put up good performances there, not suddenly pick people who might be good enough in 3 years' time.
So maybe slightly too much rotation and slightly too big a pool of players to select from for the lesser series.
Well, I think that, you know, when they come back to playing Sri Lanka here and then India, they'll be looking to pick the best 11 cricketers they've got to. I still believe they've got to do that. They don't have to be looking too far ahead. I think one-day cricket is certainly where England have looked to experiment a little bit more and rotate their players. And, you know, this tour now in Australia without Anderson and Peterson is an example of that. So I still think there'll be some experimentation, but I think in the Test arena, you've still got to pick your best cricketers. And I think England have still got a squad of players that they can pick from.
Who are the emerging talents that should be considered at least to be integrated into the team in the coming months and years?
Well, I think Stokes and Root have already, you know, done. Certainly Stokes at the moment is flying, so he's done well. Root's still in and around, and I think he will continue to impress. I think they've got to look at each area of the team, so batting, you know, look outside that current squad, maybe look at Robson, look at Taylor again, look at Vince possibly. There's three batters there that are all, you know, this could be a great opportunity for them. Spin bowling wise, look at Kerrigan. Look at Briggs. I'd look at Ollie Rayner at Middlesex or off spinner. Look around at the pool there, and in the fast bowling department, you know, there's a lot of talk about Tymal Mills at Essex, who's genuinely quick left armer. You know, still Harris, still Wokes, the Overtons. You know, there's a group that they need to look at, but they need to look at them in county cricket and look at them in Lions cricket, and then make decisions based on what they see.
We spoke in the series in the English summer about the difference in class between the Australian top six and the English top six. Personnel relatively similar, but what's changed in the application?
I think England were rattled by pace, you know, by Mitchell Johnson straight away, and I think that he's been the standout bowler, backed up with, you know, unerring accuracy, if you like, from Harrison Siddle. And England haven't really put a three-seam man attack together. Anderson much more effective in England than he has been in Australia. Broadie's been the highlight of the bowling group, if you like. And England have lost Swanee during the course of the series and never really settled on a third seamer. So I think England's batting was undermined by the Australian excellence of their bowling. And there has been a little bit of a change around. You know, losing Trott, I think, is difficult to estimate the importance of that. And the senior batsmen didn't produce the runs.
No doubt Broadie emerged with a lot of credit. He was the leading light for England.
Yeah, I would say over the series, you know, I don't know if they do a man of the series or whatever, but, you know, I thought he had an excellent series with the ball. You know, he came hard every game. He took wickets, I think, in every game. You know, over time, will probably establish himself as England's number one bowler. But I still think the Broad-Anderson combination, backed up in an ideal world for me by Finn, could still give England those opportunities to take 20 wickets in matches and win games.
You'd have had an eye on Peter Siddle?
Yep, very pleased with the way, you know, from his perspective, I think he's shown a consistency of line and length that I'm hoping will stand him in good stead over here. Hopefully the pitches in England will do enough to encourage him in if he keeps the ball in the right areas. So, you know, very pleased with the series he's had. And then hopeful, as I say, that he's as excited about playing for us as we are about having him over here.
Plenty of activity here at Trent Bridge. You've been training since November. How's the squad shaping up and what's the mood in the camp?
Well, the mood in the camp's better now because most of them have gone to Australia. So, we had a hard 7 weeks, fairly intense 6 days a week. We wanted to work the players pretty hard because we felt that was an area where we could make some improvements. And now I think certainly January, February time is an opportunity for the majority of them to go and play some cricket and do some warmer weather training. So over the next two and a half months, almost all of them, I think, apart from possibly Samet, will spend some time abroad, and, you know, just doing some skill work. But also it is, you know, a lot easier to carry on that fitness training and to do your skill training in warmer weather.
They're finding opportunities predominantly in Australia, some in club cricket, some in the Big Bash. Is it important where they play or just that they do play?
It's not massively important. I don't, you know, the level of cricket that some of them have gone to play in club cricket would be similar to our Premier League and that sort of thing. But it's the opportunity to train on grass, to bowl on grass, you know, particularly people like Jake and Fletcher and Mullaney, to go and get that overseas practice, if you like. So their standard of cricket isn't massively important. It's obviously great for people like Hales and Lum to be involved in such a, you know, a prestigious tournament as they are, but I think more it's about getting out of the cold of this country and getting some more overs, particularly under their belts as practice sessions, really.
Some tweaks to the limited overs competitions this year, lots to think about. At what stage do you start to get your head around selections?
I think our four-day selection, we're already starting to sort of come together on that. I mean, it's a little bit reliant on the IPL, it's a little bit reliant on the World T20 tournament, which, you know, could overrun the start of our season depending on how England progress, but, you know, in my back of my mind I've got ideas for that. T20 kicks in mid-May again, we've got some ideas for that, and the 50 over comp, I don't think we play any cricket in that till July, so that's very much further down the line, and who knows who'll be fit and available and playing well by that stage.
We thought we'd finish just by debriefing on your selections for our fantasy cricket competition. You finished 180th, which makes you a slightly worse selector than academy bowler Simon Webster and Reggie Nottingham commentator Dave Bracegirdle. You can't be too happy with that.
No, Girdler will be absolutely wrapped with that. He tells me the team we should be playing every week, but normally I overrule him.
If you look at the side, you had Clark as captain. You perhaps saw a bit of Aussie dominance coming?
I still thought England would win the series, but you know, I think Clark is he's right up there as an inspirational leader at the moment, and I think his batting has been outstanding. I think I picked him more for his batting, thinking that the captaincy would then double his points. Is that right?
Yes, it does. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think I've picked him more to score heavily, and he you know, he scored pretty well in a for the majority of the time. The top sixes of both teams struggled in the first innings of games.
KP struggled, but you've got to back him to bounce back at some stage. He always seems to find scores when he's back to the wall.
Yeah, I mean, I think he was still England's leading run scorer, but not with an amount of runs that would particularly have thrilled him or the rest of the side or the squad. So I think that you know, he's still the best player in the team, and England will hope that he can resurrect his form during the course of the next English summer.
You plump for Jimmy Anderson, always seems a solid pick.
Yeah, I think that, you know, not probably my finest hour there. I mean, Jimmy, certainly better in England, as I said earlier, than he has been in Australia. The ball hasn't swung. He hasn't appeared to have that nip and carry off the wicket. So, you know, I don't like to use a tired excuse, but maybe he put so much into that Ashes series, he didn't have as much to give in that recent time in Australia.
A sign of things to come with Peter Siddle on your team sheet too?
Yeah, I think I had to back anybody that was prospective playing for Notts. I didn't have a premonition that Swanee was going to retire, but, you know, I mean, Siddle and Harris, as I say, excellent backup for Johnson. Slightly different when he's over here because he becomes very much the front man of the bowling attack, and I'm sure he'll thrive on that.
You did pick out Brad Haddin, who was one of England's chief tormentors.
That was great, wasn't it? How did I do that? Oh, I mean, he's had a great series, so, you know, and a bit of a battle going on, Haddin versus Pryor. There's no doubt at this stage you won that one, but again, something that somebody like Pryor, you'd expect to bounce back, but Haddin was outstanding.
Mick, just finally, lots on your mind, always in this position of director of cricket. What are your key challenges at the minute, and what do you need to want to address before the start of the season?
Well, the key thing, I think, has been making all the arrangements for the players to go abroad. You know, they've taken some of that on themselves. I think that, actually February will be the quietest month of the whole winter here because the players will be away training and playing. So we've just got to make sure everything's in place for the pre-season to Barbados, which is coming up in about 2 months' time. And just make sure that all the arrangements are really here. But my key message at the moment is to get the players out playing cricket. They want to go and play in the warm. So we're keen to encourage them to go and do that.